and welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for November 11th, 2014. And today is the 200th episode of the Paranormal News Insider, a huge milestone. Granted, the Grandar Conspiracy, where the Paranormal News Insider is heard, has many, many more episodes than that. The Paranormal News Insider started in August of 2008. I was the first guest of the Grandar Conspiracy back in May of 2008. I returned in August, and the idea was hatched for a segment on paranormal news. That year, I did 4 episodes. 2009, I came back and did 12, as the show was still monthly, until 2010. And that year, I turned in 25 episodes, as the show went weekly at the end of August. In 2011, I did 52 shows, 2012, 49 shows, and 2013 had 43 shows, as the Grandar Conspiracy and the Paranormal News Insider went on a brief vacation, more or less. And this year so far, this is the 15th episode. So thank you very much for those who have been listening in. I wouldn't be doing it without the listeners out there getting behind me for this. And this isn't really a measure of success, but it is a milestone, and I want to take time to celebrate that. And speaking of milestones, the Paranormal News Insider Facebook page finally hit 1,000 likes. Now, I'm not really the kind of person that goes out to find likes or get likes or generate that kind of following, but it's just kind of there. If you want to like it, like it. If you don't like it, don't like it. But thank you to all of those out there who have liked the page so far, and hopefully I can continue to grow listeners and likers. This week's news is brought to you by the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. IMHS is a premier online and distance learning university that offers high-quality doctorate and doctoral PhD metaphysics degrees that will enhance your life and career, even if your career is not in the metaphysics field. For more information on the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org for more details. Encrypted news, the folks at Sasquatch, Ontario claim to have exclusive access to a Bigfoot. Along with this Bigfoot comes some strange evidence. Vocal replies, responses to investigators by name, orbs that supposedly only occur when the Bigfoot is nearby, and even pictures of apparitions, among other strange things, have been appearing with the setting of this Bigfoot. This evidence has been mocked by nearly everyone. Yet now filmmaker Chris Munch was invited to the location and has supposedly corroborated the sightings. Well, I still feel this is a hoax, and there is yet to be anything of interest as far as realistic, tangible evidence that's been discovered at this location. And the Loch Ness Monster has been getting very photogenic lately. Jonathan Bright, a paranormal investigator, took a photo 3 years ago, but recently saw an image within one of the thousands of photos he had taken. The photograph supposedly shows the Loch Ness Monster breaking through a wave. Unfortunately, the image merely shows a wave, and nothing else is seen in the image other than water. It's basically pure pareidolia. A crude drawing of the object appears to be more of a dragon than any image of the Loch Ness Monster. And in a separate story, Jonathan Bright was very quick to dismiss an image taken from a video that shows the classic pose of the Loch Ness Monster with a round head and long neck rising from the water. Bright claims that the videographer captured a log or tree branch and that a deliberate effort seems to have been made in order to hoax the viewer. Well, Mr. Pot, meet Mr. Kettle. Richard Collis filmed the sighting on his iPhone on Thursday, November 6th. And some other big personal news for myself, the Handbook for the Amateur Cryptozoologist, which was released earlier this year in February, is going to get a little bit of a makeover. I will soon be releasing a second edition of the book. Wow, seems kind of weird. Why would I do that? Well, for starters, the book will be appearing for sale at the International Cryptozoology Museum in Portland, Maine. And if that wasn't an honor enough, Lauren Coleman, the director of the International Cryptozoology Museum, an author of over 35 books and probably one of the most well-known cryptozoologists, has offered to write a foreword for my book, hence a second edition coming soon to bookstores. And along with the new foreword, I'll be adding some little minor details to the book. And so if you haven't gotten the book yet, go ahead and wait. Wait till the second edition comes out. And again, I'll be announcing that here on the Paranormal News Insider. In UFO news, there was a rash of streaking lights in the sky reported last week. On Monday, November 3rd, a fireball meteor, known as a bolide, was witnessed by many in Japan and was also captured on film. Numerous reports flowed in to police and observatories. And also on Monday night, dozens of witnesses across 11 states from Pennsylvania to Georgia described a bright green object streaking through the sky. The object, which was a meteorite, was captured by police on a dash cam in Benwood, West Virginia. An hour later, a second object was sighted over Chicago, Illinois. The object in Chicago appeared to move slowly and was described as a potential piece of space junk by Bill Cook of the NASA Meteoroid Environment Office. Other reports began to stream in about the light over Chicago, that it might be the return of the UFO that was seen over Chicago's O'Hare International Airport in 2006. Well, the original energy drink company, Red Bull, stepped forward and accepted responsibility for the light show. At 6:25 p.m., the Red Bull Air Force, consisting of three divers, flew over the edge of the city and Lake Michigan with flares streaking from them. The jump was done to kick off an art event called Red Bull Art of Can that features local artists and is being held at the Chicago's Millennium Park. And in other news, conferences, conventions, and other paranormal gatherings, well, I'll soon be gathering information for events in the U.S. for 2015 and have added a couple already. And for me, one event that is already confirmed is at the Westerville Public Library, which will be held again next year, October 26th on Monday, and this will be my 7th consecutive year at this library. Very excited again for next year. Going to put together some cryptozoology and ghost investigation stuff. Probably too early to sign up, but you might want to put it on your calendar anyway. And as always, if you have any information about any event and would like to hear it here, as well as see it on the Paranormal News Insider website, let me know at insider@paranewsinsider.com. And just on a quick side note, I was sent an email a few days ago asking why I was not covering the Mars rover mysteries, which include supposed UFOs and alien life forms that purportedly were sighted or discovered. Well, none of this evidence has ever been validated in any form. As a matter of fact, most, if not all, of the information has been discredited or basically called pareidolia. There's really nothing relevant coming from the Mars rover mysteries of anything tangible. So there's really no need to really cover it, and it seems like there's a story every couple of days, and it's more or less a conspiracy theory than any kind of discovery. And I was also asked via Facebook if I was going to be talking about the Villisca Murder House incident that happened, where Mr. Robert Larson was apparently stabbed himself during an investigation. Well, this is an ongoing investigation, and it seems like he doesn't want any kind of attention for this, and there's been really no claims of demonic activity or anything else. So I'm not going to make assumptions, and the story's out there if you want to read it, but to me it's not really worth covering. It seems more or less like a potential psychological episode. I'm not saying it's crazy, but obviously not something that was done deliberately for attention, although a lot of people have claimed this otherwise. So I guess in sidestepping the story, I've kind of already put out my opinion about it, but nonetheless, I think that Mr. Larson just wants his privacy and at this point doesn't really want any media attention, so there's no real need to cover the story, nothing paranormal about it. It's an unfortunate incident that probably good PR for the Villisca Murder House and probably will generate some more ticket sales. But that's that, and we're done. Episode number 200 is now in the can. And for the Paranormal News Insider, I'm Brian Parsons reporting.
Set up.